Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Adad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales, and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes with Vera and
Natalie. Hello.
Hi, I hope everyone is doing really great. Natalie, I think this is a really important question because it's so in your face. So how do you tackle that thing where, you know, you have all these experts telling you how to save money, how to do this, how to do that? Who do you listen to? And, you know, how do you know if something is good for you or not? I know it's kind of a loaded question, so.
Yeah, but I totally know where you're coming from. How do you know this let's just break it down. Say, how do we know this person is legit? It's a really tricky way of navigating that now because we see so many financial experts online through social media. And the truth is, it's like, what defines an expert for you, right? And so the things that I look at as far as criteria, when people are like, oh, how come you don't follow them? Or how do you, you know, why don't you recommend them or, you know, refer them? And I go, there's a lot of reasons why I don't. And the number one thing that I always look at is, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have the credentials or the you know, the master's in this particular
field.
But I do tend to listen more to people that literally have dedicated their lives to this particular subject. So if someone has the degrees, I'm most likely going to listen to them. If someone has worked in that industry for a couple decades, at least, I'm going to listen to them. And so for me, I know it's a harsh one because a lot of people are like, well, I follow so-and-so and I think she's great. And I'm like, that's cool. Cool beans, do it. But I think it's beware. And just like when anyone's listening to our podcast, this is just free entertainment. We're not giving advice one-on-one. We're not your CFP. We're not your CPA. We're just trying to entertain with educational stuff that we wish we would have had. And so when I see people, you know, saying, well, listen to this particular podcast or, you know, follow this person on Instagram, I always have those red flags when I look at first, how long have they been on social media with that particular field of, you know, expertise that they claim, right? If I see less than 4 years, 5 years, I'm like, I'm most likely going to pass. I mean, maybe I'll follow them, but it's not that I'm going to be referring them for the work. And then another one is right now, it's really hard to say, well, so-and-so has worked with so many clients. They're like, oh, well, I've connected with 40,000 followers. I'm like, it's not the same thing, right? And for me, I think that has become a real problem where I get tons of people that reach out and say, oh, I got this advice from so-and-so and I thought they were legit because they had this, you know, large following and it seemed like they knew what they're talking about. And it ended up being just watered down information that they received from that person that really had no real tangible proof that they were experts in that field. And I see that all the time in articles too. They're like, oh, I'm referring to this article that I read, referring to another article. And it's like,
right,
they're not the investor themselves. When someone says, oh, I'm a real estate investor and they've never invested in real estate, you know, so those little things that I'm like, I understand, say what you want to be. And I get that. But the word expert is used so loosely now. And I think because you might have a lot of people following you or interested in what you're saying that particularly doesn't necessarily mean it's right information.
Yeah.
And chances are if it's free information, then I would be wary of that because too oftentimes I get that. They're like, why don't you just give out your information for free? I'm like, cause my stuff is valuable. And I paid thousands of dollars for that education and tried to make sure that I always give that right information out because I'm liable for that as well. So I think sometimes people think free is always better. And not necessarily. And so I know it's a long-winded answer to that, but I think it's one that I've always hold dear to me because I think about if I'm sick, I'm going to go to a doctor that has the degrees, that has experience. If I'm financially not well, I'm not going to go to the person that's never invested in these areas and doesn't have proof that they've, you know, have that credibility. And if I see someone that's spoken at, you know, well-known institutions and people are raving about what they did, yeah, then I'm going to listen to them, right? And so I think, and that takes time. I saw someone just post something about how long it took her to build her multi-million dollar business. I'm going blank on the person. It'll come to me. And I was so proud of her, you know, posting what she did. She said, it took me 10 years to get here. And I was like, bravo, because I think about, for me, it's like, it took me years to, you know, educate myself, go to universities, go to the extra classes, the seminars, a conference, to literally invest my money into the places that I wanted to invest in, learning the ups and downs, seeing the changes in markets, meeting hundreds of people at my workshops when I go to different places throughout the country, and then getting to a place where I'm like, oh my gosh, like universities, like I always tell people my dream, the day that I felt like, it was like, when do you feel like you made it? I was like, I don't ever really feel like I made it. But the moment that I felt like, oh my God, my work is being recognized, was I got to be a keynote speaker for the Berkeley Financial, it's called FledgeCon. It's the Financial Literacy, Economic and Justice Conference. And that was my dream school that I did not go to, but that was my moment. And I think somebody would read my resume or my bio and to see that, then chances are I would be like, okay, I'm gonna listen to that person as opposed to the person that's just like constantly, you know, maybe doing YouTube videos or something that you can't really connect and say, well, what work have you done? So it's a lot of part on the person to do the research and find out, is this person really legit? And am I worth, and is it worth listening to them?
I think is actually not a long-winded answer. It is exactly the answer that everyone needed to hear, because in different genres of entrepreneurship, I know individuals who have a ton of followers, but they have like three clients. You know what I mean? It's just, it's one of those things where you're right.
They're like, this is a business. And it's like
smoke and mirrors, you know? And I think it is a dangerous, I do miss those days where, you know, we grew up before with and without, and then with the internet. So sometimes I am a little reminiscent for those days where you had to do that extra work to kind of figure out who the person was. And it was also scary then, because you would get conned sometimes. You know, a lot of people got bamboozled because they didn't realize that the person was, you know, not legitimate. So
I like that you're saying that. Let's make the obvious. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I love how you just said that. Yeah. So I think it was about a year ago that everybody went on this like rampage to talk about Dave Ramsey. And this is the first time I'm talking about him, because I didn't want to fuel to someone that I was neutral. I didn't care really what he was saying. Not that he was giving bad advice. I just thought there was a lot of advice that was given that wasn't catered for people of color, specifically women, specifically immigrants, non-documented people. And so I felt he wasn't speaking to me, right? So for me, I was never a follower in that sense. But then all of a sudden, you know, when some people are talking about it, it's like, oh, well, he could be racist, or he's disconnected and all these things. And I'm like, yeah, hopefully you recognize that if you listen to some of his advice, if you listen to the type of callers he has come in. And I think for me personally, I don't like to talk bad about somebody I don't personally know. But I also, since college, actually, I remember one of my professors was who recommended me, hey, you should, you know, and this back then it wasn't listening to podcasts, it was listening to an actual radio show, you know,
or the audiobooks. Right? You remember the CDs?
The audio, exactly, or the website.
Yeah.
For me, I was like, sure, you know, and granted, he was a white professor himself. And so then I started listening and I'm like, this is kind of like what's the saying? Lift with the John Wayne, lift yourself by the bootstraps. I always mess up that saying, but that's automatically the mentality I could hear in his messages. And I didn't like that. I've never liked that phrase, because it takes away from the systematic problems that we have that are against for people of color, specifically Black and Brown communities. Didn't talk about the situation that he would make it sound like it was our fault that we were in tons of debt. So those that were coming from a lot of student debt, hello, that was us. Those that possibly were using credit cards to get by, and we didn't have the option to be like, oh, I'm going to declare bankruptcy like he once did. And those are the things that I feel it's hypocritical to say, this is the person I want to listen to, when it doesn't resonate with me and it doesn't, and obviously it's not really helping. So I think there's those kind of areas that you say, well, there might be someone like him who does have the credibility and has a lot of success, and he's helped a lot of people. I get that. But it's also kind of, can we point out the things that are missing in the conversation. And mm-hmm. this is the first time I've mentioned his name, because I didn't want to be part of that conversation. And I saw a lot of people tweeting and bagging on him, partly because I'm like, okay, sure, I'm sure they follow it. But at the same time, I felt you're just doing that so you can be get more views.
Part of the conversation, right?
Like, it's just not worth it, even if it would have helped me or whatever. So I think I think there's also that issue with the good thing about being able to call someone out on social media and be like, you know what, this is not cool what you're doing, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah. I think that's really important.
That's the thing. To me, I think it's really important to know why it hits home. If it does hit home for you and you really resonate with it, by all means, but understand also where your mindset is. Like, there are some people that I don't click with, because I'm like, where did that thought frame come from? Because it's still part of like this really, you know, colonizing capitalism, that just the shackles are still there. And you're right. It's very difficult. And I think we ignore the lack of access that a lot of people have. The fact that many of us don't speak the language yet in the country that we live in. So we also sign contracts that we probably shouldn't have, but, you know, we were also embarrassed. Like, there's just layers of systematic things that have occurred that we haven't broken through to be able to have conversations.
Absolutely. It's not that we can't listen to these people and have, like you just said, the subjectiveness. You know, we could be critical of what they're saying. Hopefully we learned some things along the way. And I think back in college, it was just Susie Orman as far as women talking. And
oh my God, I remember her.
Yeah, like I loved a lot of the information. But once again, it was kind of like listening to, and I always felt like she was like the nagging aunt.
Yeah.
Not completely bad, but there was moments I'm like, it was just too much for me. And then Jean Chasky, shout out to her. I loved listening her talk, because I felt like she was a kinder aunt that I can listen to. I'm a person that does not do well when someone's like saying you're doing everything wrong, you know? And some people really thrive well in those circumstances. So it's kind of, I love listening to both, and I still do it, because I think it's important to be able to say, okay, this resonates with me. Okay, maybe this is what needs to be included in the conversation. And that's probably why I do what I do now. It's because I felt too oftentimes, you know, I couldn't come from like the white privilege, you know, entitlement that they were coming from, but I could definitely say, you know what, this is where I'm coming from. And this is what I've learned from them so far. And this is what I think we can apply to help change the system that, unfortunately is bringing us down, or is not helping us get out of this particular debt, or is not helping us have at least a zero start. I always think about that when so often people say, well, I had nothing when I started. And I go, you know, when people would love to be able to say that, instead they're saying, no, I'm starting out life with $100,000 of student debt, or $50,000 worth of medical bills. And, you know, or, you know, just all these other situations that they purposely did not put themselves into, was because they thought they were helping someone out, right? Or helping themselves out. And so, it's who do you listen to, and why do you listen to them?
Exactly.
Is the question you should be asking.
It's funny that you touch upon the student debt thing, because obviously it's still a super hot topic. But I see a lot of parents who don't have the heart to tell their child, you can't go to that Ivy League school, especially if you don't have scholarships, because I cannot afford it. So they will mortgage the house. They will do XYZ. They will borrow money. They'll take out loans. They'll use credit cards so that the kid can go to this fancy institution, when we know that there are amazing state schools that will give you sometimes even a better education. But again, the media, who do you listen to? Where should you go to school?
States, right? Which is insane, because in other places, other countries, the state schools are the better, they're considered the Ivy League schools, because the private schools, anyone can just pay themselves to get in. Kind of similar here, right?
Totally. Totally.
So it's interesting what we put as status, right? And I can understand with the Ivy League school here, it's more about who you know and who you'll be connected with, and how that trickles down to your.
But that's a systemic issue as well.
And once again, yeah, how many you and I can have another conversation with so many women that we knew that were women of color that have gone to Harvard, you know, Stanford, I mean, some of the best universities throughout the country, and talked about being the unicorn. And I think, and the fact that it is still happening makes it so difficult for them to still thrive when they're dealing with all these systemic challenges within their own university. And it's just kind of like, here's a little sneak peek of what you're going to get yourself into. And I always remind people that when people are like, oh, you know, good job that you're doing this or breaking the glass ceiling or blah, blah, blah. For me, I'm like, no, I'm sick of doing that, first of all. But secondly, it's tiring and it's lonely and we just want to be sometimes. And so when people make it seem like that's something you constantly do, it's unfair. And especially for women of color, it's like, we don't want to feel like we always have to be the first to do it in order to get through. We just want to be able to be considered an equal. I always think of that episode with Black-ish with Tracee Ellis, who plays the mom. And I love how, I forgot who brings it up to her attention. And she's like, wow, you're a doctor. And she finally had made it to partner at this hospital. And she was like the brightest of the bright. And she's like, and I did this in spite of all of these things. And the little girl was like, but imagine what you could have done if you didn't have to overcome all those other challenges for being a Black woman in medicine. And it like blew her mind because she thought, oh my God, I could have been the first, I could have been this, or, you know, all these other things that she had to overcome just to be considered an equal.
Yes, absolutely. Anyways, and conversation, I know we could do a whole, we should do a whole episode on tokenism and all that, but that is so true. But that's why we say, who do you listen to? Ask the questions. What resonates? And if it does resonate, at what level? How deep? And how really rooted? And how does it affect your life? And what is it doing? I mean, I know these are all big questions. You're like, whoa, I really just want to save money. Like, I get that. But like, understand that there's like also, you know, a system in place that can potentially is not helping you save money. So ask those questions as well.
And I'm going to give you a little shout out, because this is the funny thing about the conversations we have. Not only because you and I seem to see a lot of things similar, but I thought about that when I first brought you on to the podcast. I'm pitched by people like, oh, we'd love to be a special co-host, or, you know, how can I be a part of your podcast? And not that these people weren't here, but it's like, it's once again, I was asking myself these questions of like, who are these people? What type of credibility do they have? Would they be able to provide the right information based on experience, based on their track record? And I think when I was obviously happy with you for that reason, because I kind of felt too often, sometimes we hear someone go off and on, I'm like, oh, this is what you should be doing, yet they don't have anything else to back themselves up. So I think, you know, someone that's listening to them, I hope they look at us and be like, okay, it's worth listening to for entertainment and some educational purpose. But I'm also not going to think that they're like the sale of whatever topic they're talking on when it comes to money. But I think it's important to know that it takes a long time to build a reputation. Yeah, it could be a minute to ruin it, right? And so for me, it's so important who the people I surround myself with, because they can be the ones that ruin it for you. Sometimes it's not even you that does something. It's like, oh, well, they're part of my team. And guess what? It reflects on me. And I'm very careful of who I let in my circle for not just work, but my tribe, my best friends. Like I'm really careful about that. And I hope others are the same way too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, it's something to think about. Who do you listen to outside and especially in your inner circle? You know, so thanks for sharing. This is a great episode, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Tell us who you listen to, why you listen to them, and maybe we can get them on the show as well and just, you know, chat it up. But and tell us why you listen to us, because maybe we can talk more about those subjects that are important to you and you'd like to learn more about. So catch us on the next episode.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Bye. Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.